Okay, we've been talking about, and as a matter of fact, if you want to, go out there and you can get a copy of all of these on communication. Communication is a very important part of everybody's life. Everybody in this place communicates. You can communicate by talking. You can communicate by not talking. You can communicate with your eyes. You can communicate with your actions. You communicate. So it's important to know, especially right now with the church on the verge, I'm telling you, on the verge of one of the most awesome growths we've ever seen. And this time, we've had growth and then it goes away. Growth and goes away. This time, I believe the growth is going to come and stay. It's going to be good. Now, this is practical. This is as practical as you can get. You can't get any more practical than this. Matter of fact, you know, sometimes when I'm counseling people, and I tell them, you know, I just say, how do I handle a situation? And I tell them, they come back and say, well, it didn't work. And I say, well, how'd you handle it? And I find out they didn't handle it any way whatsoever the way I told them. So then I'll say, okay, that's practice. And so I will actually talk to them like the other person may talk to them and say, now, how do you respond? And they would come and they start responding, and that's not the way to do it. And then they come and say, you know, I got it now, and it helps. So this way, this is where the rubber meets the road. Last week we talked about characteristics of words that wound. All right. Now we're going to take it even deeper than just words that wound. We're going to take it as deep as you can absolutely take it. Get you a copy of this is part 4B. So if you want to part 4A or part 4 is the very front part of this, but then you want to get part 4B. Get ready. You constantly and continue to deliver messages that reveal the true disposition of your heart. It's not just what you say, but it's the way you say it, listen to others, and the way you look at others. If you ask me, do I mind taking you across the street to the store, and I go, I don't mind. What about if you go, if you ask me, well, how did I sound? Did it sound good? Was it sing good? You go, yeah, you sounded good. Okay. So again, you know, it's not just what you say, it's how you say it. So just like with stewardship, it's not what you do, it's how you do it. The same way here, it's not just what you say it, how you listen to others. So here's the characteristics of Nick. Believe it or not, we're going to go to positive communication next week. Praise God. Finally. We're in negative communication. Last week was words that wound. A wise man's heart guides his mouth. Proverbs 16:23. Then there's wrongful ways. Now this right here, again, is just practical. I hate to say it this way, but it's practical in your face. I mean, you can't miss this. If you miss this, then there's no hope for you. Okay? If you miss this one, you praise God. I mean, this is right here. Disagreeable ways. Now, does anybody know anybody in here can be disagreeable? I know some folks that would disagree just to disagree. Some folks think they think that's their calling in life is to disagree. And some people find fault so much you think they're getting paid for it. Okay? Well, here it is. Disagreeable ways. Now look, you might find yourself in here. If you find yourself in here, just do this. And if you find a person sitting next to you in it, don't do this. Okay, get ready. Disagreeable ways. Here are insensitive ways. Y'all say insensitive. How many times has somebody been insensitive with you while you're trying to talk? Here comes a harder one. How many of you have been insensitive when somebody's trying to talk to you? You know, it's like, you know, I really need to talk, Pastor. I really feel like nobody loves me. Okay, you got 2 minutes. Tell me about it. Nobody wants to listen to me. I got 2 minutes. Tell me all about it. And the whole time you're talking, you go, you know, you can't do that. Matter of fact, do not, when people are talking to you, don't go, or this. Look. And definitely don't do this. Come on, tell me about it. Come on. All right. What's that? Yeah, walk away. Yeah, that's not good either. Yeah. Yeah. I feel like nobody wants to talk to me, really. Okay. This is really important, especially when churches grow. Do you know it'd be nice if God sent a whole bunch of ready-made cookie dough cutter Christians? There'd be no fun, would it? So what he does is, he sends, let me just tell you this. You know what God's going to send in here? He's going to send in, if he sends in 25 people, he's sending in 25 to 50 sheets of sandpaper. Because every person is going to rub 1 to 2 people the wrong way. Yeah. So when somebody's rubbing you the wrong way, you know what's going on? You're getting polished. God's letting that sandpaper polish you. So instead of saying, God, I wish you would just leak, help me get away from that person. You know what? If God moves that person, he's going to bring 2 more that's worse. So it's better to go ahead and get that 1 sheet of sandpaper and get it over with. Go ahead, God, polish me. Polish me, Lord. You know, because when somebody comes in and doesn't talk right, maybe, you know, it's like I told them I need another person in engineering. And they told me, said, the budget does not cover another person in engineering right now. Do the best you can. I said, okay. And we were swamped. And finally one day they called me and said, did you say you need another person in engineering? I said, yeah. I've asked you about 10 times. They said, we got somebody. We want you to interview and then hire. Interview him and then hire him as a personal favor to Mr. Fountain. I mean, so I didn't really know the person that well. I talked with him and she said, oh, I'd love to be on y'all's team. Y'all's team is awesome. I hear of all the things y'all do and y'all got good attitudes. And, you know, and I didn't know that I was hiring the weakest link. She come in and, I mean, bless her heart. We were sending stuff by electronic, through electronic. I'm pretty sure you do a lot of electronic stuff to the state, right? And to the county. We were sending stuff all over the state, all over the nation, all over around the world, electronically. And she'd bring up this great old big manila folder and fill the folder up and mail it. And I said, what are you doing? She said, I'm sending these reports off. I said, but all you got to do is put it right here and push that little button right there. And it's gone. So she said, okay. And so we walk off, and I'm thinking everything's fine. And I hear her go, oh, no! Everybody, I turned around and said, what is it? She said, I pushed that button you said, and I zapped it all into cyberspace. Lost every report. One day she come in, and she was doing her stuff, and there was a guy, one of the guys, he was a good Christian guy sitting beside me. Never heard him talk about anybody, ever. She walked out, and she would run her mouth all the way out, and he went, as soon as she shut the door, slammed the door, he went, this water's too wet. And I said, what is it, Paul? Your water's too wet? He said, so again, sometimes this isn't the easiest thing to do. So you've got to think about this. Use your head. Use your head. How insensitive ways, often used by those unaware of how they become habits that do not... I was texting. I was sleepy when I was writing. So I'm not being insensitive. This is sleepy talking. All right, ready? Here are insistent ways often used by those unaware of how they become habits that do not bring glory to God. I should have an if, and, or button there somewhere. All right. Proverbs 5:21 says, "For a man's ways are in full view of the Lord, and he examines his paths." Wow. "For the ways of man are directly before the eyes of the Lord, and he who have us live soberly, chastely, and godly, carefully weighs all of our goings." So here we go. Disagreeable ways. I know none of y'all have ever done this, but just in case you run into somebody. Number one, here's the questions I want you to ask yourself when you're talking to people, especially new people that are coming in or old friends that you've gotten calloused to. All right? Am I dominating? What is dominating? Monopolizing or controlling the conversation? Have you ever seen somebody that controlled the conversation? You couldn't talk. Like, we're sending you somebody to interview, hire them as a personal favor to Mr. Fountain. What was I supposed to say? When I interviewed her, I was thinking, she don't have all the skills we need, but this is a personal favor for Mr. Fountain. In other words, do it. Okay. Here's a good one, and this one here, I would think, is probably one of the biggies for church folks, especially people that are very, I won't say athletic, but I don't mean athletic. Sometimes they're not athletic, but they've got that athletic spirit about them. Huh? Yeah, what now? Competitive. Yeah. Look, am I interrupting with a competing spirit? In other words, you're trying to talk, or they're trying to talk, and they can't get it out. I was talking to somebody just the other day, and I do not want to take blood pressure medicine. I don't like taking it, but I've got to take it. Yeah, but I've got to take this blood pressure medicine. So I'm talking to this person, and they say, "Well, how much are you taking?" And I said, "Well, I'm taking this, this, and this." He says, "That ain't nothing. I take twice that much." I'm thinking, you're happy about that? And then he said, Does the doctor put you on aspirin? This is my family. Does the doctor put you on an aspirin regimen? I said, "Yeah, I take an 81 milligram every day." He says, "I take a 325 every day." And I'm thinking, oh, we're not competing here. You asked me, was I taking something? And now I feel like I'm in here, you know, we're going to pull out the swords in a minute and go at it. So I finally just ended with this. I'm going to keep on working out until I ain't got to take any of them. That's right. Of course, you cannot tell it. I told you what it was as I work. That's right. What it is, I found out that when you get older, when you start working out, the weakest spots is where the muscles come out. I get the sanctified donuts, but they're holy. Okay. Now, that's right. Number three, here you go. Am I nagging? How many's ever had somebody nag you? Finding fault constantly. I started to put down there, it's better to dwell on the corner of a house top. But then I said no, because then you'll think I'm talking about as women. And I'm not just talking about women. Guys can be nagging too. That's what the Bible says. That's right. So, because of that, I put this up here instead. Jude 1 and 16, the New Living Translation says, "These people are grumblers and complainers, living only to satisfy their desires. They brag loudly about themselves. They flatter others to get what they want." Again, That's kind of there, but it's going to be about some other stuff too. But I just threw that in there because the Bible did say it's better to dwell in the corner of a housetop. And I'm going to tell you what now. I don't know if I want to stay on the corner of a housetop because you sneeze wrong, you're on the ground. To dwell with a cantankerous woman. There you go. He had okay with the fashion. There you go. Am I dominating? All right, here we go. Am I complaining? You got to ask yourself this stuff. If you ask yourself this stuff when you're talking to people, I actually think about, I watch people's reactions when I'm talking to them. And I don't, I'm not always successful. I have to admit, but when I'm talking to people, I'll watch their actions. And we talked about last week wounding spirits or wounding the spirit of man, wounding man's spirit. If I see myself wounding somebody or I see myself not letting them talk it out, then I go in question mode. If you do not want to dominate a conversation, go in question mode. That means when you're talking to somebody, if they say, you know, this really hurts bad, say, watch this. Instead of just going to say, well, you ought to check what I went through. There you go. You've already messed up. If you do this, that really hurts bad. You go, how did it hurt? Explain to me how it hurt. And then they start saying, well, it hurt when they treated me that way. And I go, what's that way? You keep on asking questions. Number one, you're not dominating the conversation. You're not dominating them. They're talking. Plus, you're getting out of them what's going on. Plus, they're going to feel better after they've got it out. You know, when somebody's talking to you, they go, well, you know everything. No, I don't know what everything is. Tell me, what's everything? You know, but if they would just learn how I feel, oh, tell me how you feel. Again, when you do that, now you're not dominating the situation. You're not nagging. You're not, you know, you're not doing this. But am I complaining? Making a crisis or a problem dominated conversation. Numbers 21, 4 through 6 said, from Mount Hor they set out by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom, and the people became impatient on the way, and the people spake against Moses, against God and against Moses, why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness, for there's no food, no water, and we loathe this worthless food. You loathe what? You're calling manna worthless food. I'd love to have some manna. You know what manna means? What's this? Do you know what to call it? I'd love to be able to go out in the morning and pick me some manna, put it in a pot, at least try it one time. So then the Lord sent forth fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people so that many people of Israel died. They were complaining. Some people, I'm telling you, they complain so much you think they get paid for it. Some folks, I told somebody the other day, I said, I know some folks that if somebody was on the street corner handing out free $10 bills, they would complain because they couldn't get two fives. Okay. Am I criticizing or dwelling on the negative? James, and these are things you need to ask yourself. When you're in a conversation with somebody, ask, am I dominating this? Am I dominating or controlling the conversation? Am I interrupting constantly? You know, I can tell when I'm talking with somebody that interrupts constantly, you know what I wind up doing? Forgetting everything I'm talking about. Never even tell them what I'm trying to tell them because they're always interrupting. You know what I'm talking about? The older you get, the better it is to forget. Yeah. You forget what? Am I cutting or am I making jabbing, sarcastic remarks all the time? Am I ridiculing, making another the object of laughter? Am I arguing, disagreeing, disputing? I found out there were some folks that honestly, I admit, I didn't care much for them. I really didn't care much for them because I didn't like the way they acted. Okay, on the job, I just didn't like the way they talked. I didn't like the way they acted. I didn't like the disposition. And so I found myself cutting them and ridiculing them every time they got around me. And you know what it made happen? They acted worse and worse and worse. And so I learned the secret. Instead of ridiculing them and cutting them, I found good things. I didn't have to make it up. If you look hard enough, you can find some good things about these people. And I started celebrating the good things about them. And pretty soon, there was more good things about them and more good things. And some of the bad things weren't so bad anymore. And so what I found out is I made friends. There was one guy especially. I mean, I said, Lord, something got to happen. You know, like Marcel said when he was up in that tree and that lynx got after him. And he hollered for Nugene. He said, shoot up amongst us. And he said, I might hit you. He said, I don't care. One of us got to have some relief. In the same way, you know, I was saying, God, just give me some relief. And God said, celebrate their accomplishments. And so I started celebrating their accomplishments. Next thing I know, I saw more and more good things about them. And next thing I know, we became great friends. Wow. It was awesome. So here, and am I moralizing or lecturing and giving unsolicited advice? Some folks just love to put their 2 cents worth in, and some can't really afford to. That's right. Wait until they really ask you. I got called in for somebody to help somebody just a few weeks ago. So this person said, can you go help this other person? I said, sure. And when I got there, the other person said, talk, I ain't listening. That's a good way to let me know that everything's all right. And sit there on their phone like this. And honestly, deep down inside, I want to just get up, get back in my car, and make that hour drive back to my house. But instead, I said, no, this ain't going to happen like this. I said, Lord, I prayed right then. I said, Lord, give me the wisdom of Solomon and the patience of Job. Father, and give me the irresistible tongue like Stephen. And I thought about the thing. They stoned him, so I took that one off. Yeah. Yeah. So I kept on talking, and all of a sudden I watched that person weren't going to talk to me went. And they said, yeah. Tell me some more. I got talking some more, and they went, really? I said, yeah. And as I kept talking, I took out my iPad, and I was showing them some stuff I had on my iPad, and then they want me to go sit down. It was a guy. I went down and sat down on the couch beside him, and next thing I know, his phone's ringing and dinging and all that stuff, and he just went, he took it and turned it upside down so he couldn't hear it. And he said, come on, tell me more. Tell me more. And when I left, he said, thank you so much. I've learned so much tonight. But you know what? When I went there, that's what I got. Yeah, and so I knew that he didn't want unsolicited advice. So I just said, God, give me something that's going to spark his interest. And when that interest got sparked, all of a sudden, you know, it was awesome. So again, am I generalizing or trying to simplify or making light of real concerns? I have to be careful. I have to be real careful because sometimes with my joking attitude, I can sometimes seem like I'm making light of it, and I'm not. My uncle called me, Uncle Ralph, he's got cancer. He's already outlived everybody that has the same kind of cancer he's got. He's outlived them by a year or more. And I believe it's because of his faith in God. And he's just awesome when it comes to, he believes God will take care of him. But he called me and said, I need you to do something for me. I said, why? He said, I want you to help my funeral. I said, okay, what you want? And some of y'all know this. He said, I want you to tell jokes. And I said, Uncle Ralph, I've never told jokes at funerals before. He said, you are at this one. And I said, people laugh at funerals, but it's because of things they did. It's not because I'm telling jokes. He said, at mine, you're going to tell jokes. And I said, okay. And I walked away, and I saw my dad and my other uncle, and I said, he wants me to tell jokes. And they said, and that's what you're going to do. Where's that dominating thing? Yeah. Yeah, but look, though. But see what I did, though? I took, and I've been praying about it. He said, I want to leave these people laughing. He said, I don't want them leaving crying. He said, after everybody does their stuff, you get up and you just start throwing them jokes at them. So I found a couple of jokes and I let him listen to them. He said, they're the ones I want. So he's already picked them out. And then he said, I don't want to earn. I want you to cremate me, and I don't want you to earn. I want you to go to A&P store and get a bag. And he says, after you tell my jokes, I want you to cut a hole in the bag and just spread me around. And I said, well, you're going to have somebody laughing, I'm pretty sure, but they're going to be crying too. But again, it sounds just like him. But again, it's you got to be careful, because I've gone up to people and not mean to sound light, and they'll go, I'm not in a joking mood right now. And I'm going, I weren't really joking. I just, so you got to be real careful. And you can do it easy at the prison. Those guys go, I'm not in a joking mood. That's right. So watch this. An offended brother is more unyielding than a fortified city, and disputes are like the barred gates of a citadel. Proverbs 18:19. Ask yourself these things. Am I dominating? Am I interrupting? Am I nagging? Am I complaining? Am I criticizing? Am I cutting? Am I ridiculing? Am I arguing? Am I moralizing? And am I generalizing? One of the hardest people to talk to when this stuff's going on like this, especially if somebody wants to talk, you want to talk to somebody, is somebody that's used to being the manager. They're hard to talk to because they're always doing this. They're always telling people what to do. And so it's hard to get them sometimes to stop and not do all this. Okay. Number two, disagreeable ways. Number two, defensive ways. This is really some awesome stuff. This is boots on the ground. This is good stuff. 10, usually unintentional self-protective patterns that are evasive tactics used to avoid looking at one's own imperfections. How many here's got imperfection? How many's got more than one? Amen. Okay. He who conceals his sins does not prosper. Whosoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy. Here we go. Listen to this. Now, you want you to think about your own self now, defensive ways. And I see this all the time when I'm counseling. This is the very first things I see, and it takes sometimes one or two trips to get them to put those defenses down. They got to trust before they can put them down. Watch this. Am I countering? The one who confronts with words of denial. That right there, an addict. Somebody that's an addict. You start talking to them, and they're going to confront, and they're going to say, oh, no, I can put that down anytime I want to. I can put it down anytime I want to. Really? Or somebody, watch this, that's got an anger problem. You're trying to tell them that you got an anger, you got a problem with anger. No, I ain't got a problem with anger. Why do you think I got a problem with anger? Am I evading? Am I self-examination by focusing on the faults of others? In other words, when I'm thinking about myself, all of a sudden now I just start throwing off on somebody else's faults. So you won't see my faults. That's a biggie. People do it all the time. Usually if you're in school and you see somebody picking on somebody, they're picking on the weak person, you think they're picking on the weak person because they're weak. Usually what they're doing is they're trying to cover up their own imperfection, and they're trying to cover it up by picking on somebody else. So you got to watch this. Am I blaming? My response is on the actions of the other person. Now, I'm like this because of somebody else. Now, I remember telling y'all in 12th grade we had history class. And I was in the front row. In the front. Then one of my buddies was behind me and one buddy was behind him. There was like four of us. 1, 2, 3, 4. And every exam I made an A. The guy behind me made a B. The guy behind him made a C. And the guy behind him made a D. Every exam. Finally, one day, the guy told the guy behind me, said, he kept saying, y'all are cheating. I know you are. I said, I'm in the front. How can I cheat? And so he finally said, told the guy behind me, says, I know that you cheated. I got proof. He said, how have you got proof? He said, look at David's number three. David put, I don't know. He said, your number three says, I don't know either. Are you always blaming somebody else for the way you act? Am I bringing up the other person's mistakes from the past? Again, when this stuff starts coming out, usually it's because they don't want you to talk about their problems, so they're throwing stuff out there. They just keep shooting. Have you seen the evasive maneuvers of these airplanes when these airplanes are going through the air and they've got heat-seeking missiles? And when the heat-seeking missiles coming behind them, they say release evasive measures. And when they say release evasive measures, what happens is hot stuff comes out the back and so as to attract that heat-seeking missile. And it's just particles of stuff, you know, comes out, and so they're putting it out there so the heat will go, they'll feel that heat and go there instead of hit the plane. We do that all the time. The heat's on, we throw it on somebody else. It's their fault. Well, you know what? I know what you did last week. I know what you did last year. I remember when we were in high school. Well, I remember when we were in elementary school. Okay. Rationalizing. Rationalizing my behavior because of circumstances. Well, if circumstances were different, I wouldn't act this way. Really. Am I arguing about a trivial point to evade the real issue? Am I changing the subject without responding to what was communicated? Am I refusing to talk or respond? When the hardest thing to do is talk to somebody when they do this, watch this. You're talking to them and all of a sudden they go. They're not even looking in your eye. They're just looking off. You're talking to them. Hey, you hear me? What's going on? Tell me what's going on in that head. And every time you look at him, you turn the head the other way. How can you talk to somebody like that? Again, that's a defensive way. Now, am I hiding in work activities to avoid intimacy? Am I choosing to ignore grievances and allow my feelings to fester? He who listens to a life-giving rebuke will be at home among the wise, Proverbs 15:31. Then there's finally deceptive ways. 10 intentional versions of untruthfulness reveal open rebellion and denial of God's claim on one's life. The wisdom of the prudent is to give thought to their ways, but the folly of fools is deception, Proverbs 14:8. Am I lying? Knowingly giving wrong information or impressions. Have you ever, maybe not flat out lied and said no, but you skipped around it so much, you stretched the truth so far that it would never get back in shape? Am I blaming, shifting responsibility to another? Am I flattering, complimenting with hidden motives? Am I gossiping, telling rumors about others? Again, just to keep people off of me. Am I boasting, bragging, or flattering myself? Am I diverting or changing the subject? Am I pouting? Now, usually the people that pout, usually, are the younger ones. But I have seen some adults pout, and it's not pleasant. You know, it's so nice and so neat when you take a baby and you have to take their lips and you take that little pacifier. And you have to move the lips back and forth to stick that pacifier in. You got to kind of help them till they start sucking on it. But it gets disgusting when you got a part of mustache to do that. Am I patronizing or pretending to agree or give support? A lot of times, especially in counseling, I think that's one of the biggest things I get give back to me is patronizing. Okay, sure. Okay, sure. Are you in an argument with somebody and you hear them go, okay, sure. And you get out there and they're no more going to do it. You know they're not going to do it. Am I discriminating, choosing to hear only what I want to hear? Fellas, raise your hand. All the fellas, please raise your hand for just a minute. Guilty as charged. Yeah, that's right. Am I misleading? Communicating only partial truth. Now this one right here, number of the 10 things I just talked about, number 1 and number 10 are so, they're kissing cousins. It's one thing to flat out tell a lie. It's another thing to, you know, avoid it or say, well, you know, I'm not sure. As officer said, you know how fast you're going? And you're looking right down when they pulled you. And you go, well, I reckon I was going between, I don't know. You know you were going 60. You know, I must have been going at least over 40. I very seldom get stopped, but I got stopped the other day. I was on the way to the hospital. Anna Lane was in the emergency room. I was trying to get to her. And so I'm trying to get to Anna Lane. She'd hurt her neck. And I'm going through Greenville. And I'm going to where the 45 becomes a 35. I just come from a 50, no, from a 55 turns into a 35. So I'm out there by Lowe's on 33. And I'm going through, and there's cars in the way, and I'm thinking, if y'all can move, I can get to the hospital. And so I do one of those James Bond moves. And I said, if I can get around this guy, I'll get on up in front of the bunch. So I get in front of the bunch, and all of a sudden, I see these blue lights come behind me, like, wow, I never even seen all this kind of blue lights. And so I said, he can't be going after me. Yeah, who? And so I pull over, and I said, surely he'll pass by. I pull over and pull in this little housing thing, and he goes right up behind me. He gets out of his car. He don't even talk to me. Hardly says, I said, excuse me, sir, what have I done? I went evading. I really didn't know how fast I was going. I said, what have I done? He said, do you realize you're going 50 in a 35? And pulling a Batman maneuver. And I said, and I had my badge on for Pitt County Hospital. I said, well, I got a granddaughter in the emergency room. I'm just trying to get to her. And I didn't think he even heard me. So he goes back and I see him typing and I see paper coming out. I said, oh no. He walks up to me and he goes, I'm giving you a warning this time. I was praying the whole time. God, thank you for favor with that man. I thank you for favor with that man. He comes and said, I'm going to give you a warning ticket this time. He said, you need to watch yourself. And I said, I will, man. He said, I know you probably weren't thinking because your granddaughter's in the emergency room. And then, oh, this is cool. I said, well, not only am I her pawpaw, I pulled out my little bat. It's got a string on it. I said, I'm her pastor. And he went, just go. Don't ever do that. Yeah. Like that guy that got pulled for a DWI, he told the officer, and the officer said, looks like your eye. He said, have you been drinking? Your eyes look a little divvied over, glassed over. And he says, have you been to the donut shop? Because your eyes look glazed over. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with this practices and have put on the new self. I want you to take this. This is all practical. This is hands-on practical stuff. And I want you to look at these things, and I actually ask myself this stuff. Am I perfect? No. Do I ever mess up? Yes. But when you count, especially when you're counseling, you really have to be careful about this. And so I say, well, don't just do it with counseling. Do it whenever I'm doing anything. Stop and ask myself this situation. You know, so ask yourself these things. Am I being disagreeable? Am I throwing up my defenses? Or am I being deceptive? And you know what? Get that other part about the defense or about the words that wound, and you've got something that can really help your communication skills. This is awesome, awesome stuff. You love the Lord? God is awesome. All the time. I even asked him when I was at the wreck a while ago, I asked those guys, I said, do y'all mind if I take a few pictures? And those guys went, we don't care. I said, I just wanted to ask. I'm about here taking pictures, and y'all go, get out of the way, you redneck! So, let's pray. Father, you're an awesome God. You're a powerful God. And we know, Lord, all things come from you, Lord, and all things are going back to you, Lord. You've called us into partnership. That's what stewardship's about, partnership. And, Lord, part of that partnership and that of stewardship is how to talk to people. God, I believe with all my heart, Lord, that there's going to be some people going to need this even as much as early as tomorrow. They're going to need to know how to use this, Lord. I ask you right now, Lord, to bring it back to their memory, Lord, and not be pulled back by it, Lord, but to move forward, Lord. You're an awesome God. You're a powerful God. You can handle this, Lord. Touch us, anoint us, use us. And, Lord, Sunday, let us come in ready. Anxious and eager to worship you, and anxious and eager to learn your word. We thank you for it right now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Touch Sister Kitty right now, too, Father. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. God is awesome all the time. Y'all are dismissed.